sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on Wednesday, November 27, 2024. This episode is rated F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeling as a motherfucking crew. If you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast may not be for you. Welcome, bienvenue, another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lebanon. All right, before I start, come on. Give it up for yourselves, man. To all you listeners, man, I got nothing but love, so give it up for yourself. Come on, get up, come on. All right. Beautiful. Don't you agree? And within that group of listeners, I want to shout out another important category of listeners, and that's all you new folks. Yeah, give it up for yourselves, and B Black says welcome. All right, okay, quick reminder that the website address is shutuppodcast.com and email address is shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. Usually when I greet new listeners, I also acknowledge those of you who may have clicked on this podcast by mistake and salute you regardless, and you know, and who knows, maybe we'll make history. But I also give you the email address, the URL of the podcast, so you know which Shut Up Podcast you're listening to. Go Uniqueness. All right, in today's episode titled 224, Biting My Tongue, I discuss, excuse me, I fucked up. I made I fucked up the order. All right. I discuss a dream I had last night, Drake, and chapter one of this new book I'm reading, and it's Asada Shakur, her autobiography, and just a quick things, and then I finish off the last thought ends up will be about what I like to call the art of biting my tongue, figuratively, yeah. Oh man, yeah, okay, yeah. Some of you might be disgusted. Yeah, right. It's not that kind of podcast. All right, I'm trying to challenge myself and stay within. I've allotted myself some time to do the first three parts, and let's see how I do. Okay, all right. So first, let's start off by saying, before I talk about my dream. Going off script already. Okay, before I talk about my dream, I just realized that the same way I'm podcasting, as far as I'm concerned, maybe as far as I know, I'm talking to no one. I'm recording. I mean, I'm talking to this microphone. This thing's being recorded on my little SD card that I uploaded to a website. And my point is, this podcast is no different than me in the comment sections. I spend a lot of time online, and I found myself take some time to realize that, wow, I put a lot of comments. It's amazing how I'm motivated to. I don't know. Think of something that you do naturally, right? Regardless of the results, I guess that's what it is, right? Like, I actually enjoy doing that, but I rarely get likes. Like, I'll tweet, I'll put it in the comments on TikTok. Talking to a bunch of strangers, and for all I know, it's, you know, that's not true. I just know, okay, people are reading it, but they just don't hit the acknowledge. It's kind of scary, you know, talking to the abyss. I'm just going to reflect. Random thoughts right now. Just randomness. Okay, last night I had a dream. Oh my God. I had a dream last night, and I felt the need to share it with you. I just punched my microphone, my very expensive microphone. Ladies, all right. The reason why I'm sharing this, my dream, is because I found myself questioning, how different would my life be if I actually believed in my affirmations? Like, I read affirmations. My therapist gave me some affirmations to read, but sometimes I'm like, yeah, whatever. Like, I go through it like some of you, like I used to go for a prayer, like the Our Father. I only know the French version, right? And you just don't really take the time to. Anyway, so I found myself wondering, just had a moment, what would change? Like, I forced my brain to explore it. And I remember there was a good feeling, which then translated to, I got my answer in a dream. It's like, I had a dream that I validated myself. Sorry, I'm laughing because, it was actually a little more corny than that. It was, had a dream that I went to some bar and this chick came on to me aggressively. And I only bring this up because in my mind, growing up as a teenager, and I think I still have a little bit of that lingering in me, but a girl coming on to you, even if she might be crazy, was how I equated validation. Anyway, but my point is, I think I finally got my brain to start processing or absorbing the affirmation as a sponge by also thinking about reflecting on how my life would change if I actually believed that I should put myself on a pedestal. I forgot what the affirmation was. I got it off YouTube. I forgot. I am my own best friend. I deserve the best out of life. Shit like that, you know? Anyway, so I'm just going to leave this the same question is, what would change in your life if you believed in your affirmations? And if you don't have any affirmations, then look some up. And I want to be clear, this question is dedicated to people who don't believe in affirmations, find that shit corny. And very importantly, need to take time to answer this question. If you haven't answered this question, I'm not talking to you, because you're just going to be like, affirmation just is supposed to be whatever. Yeah, I'm not talking to you perfect people. All right. I'm going to do two things into one. I've been using Drake. We're going to talk about Drake, but I've been using ChatGPT a lot. And I feel like I'm betraying humanity, what I'm about to do next here. So when I work on my agenda for the shows, I just put stuff up, point form, and I put Drake, because Drake was recently in the news, and I realized that I haven't read a single article about what happened to Drake. It's all things that I've heard on the podcast. Actually, I might just link the latest episode, or the episode of The Black Guy Who Tips I listened to. And because they go into what Drake did in detail, like Rod, one of the co-hosts of, he's really good at finding information, And yeah, I'm not like him. Anyways, here's the betrayal comes. What I did out of sheer curiosity is I went, hey, ChatGPT. What did I write? I said, are you able to summarize the latest news about Drake? And it did. And it searched two sites. Oh, okay. It went two sites. Okay. Fader and Wired. Okay. And check this out. There's even a speech portion to ChatGPT. So I'm going to play it just to see how good it is. All right. But here we go.
Drake is currently at the center of a legal and music industry controversy involving Kendrick Lamar and Universal Music Group, UMG. He has filed multiple legal petitions accusing UMG of defamation and unethical practices in promoting Lamar's diss track, Not Like Us. Drake claims the track falsely accuses him of serious offenses, including being a sex offender. He also alleges that UMG manipulated streaming platforms and airplay through tactics like bots, pay-for-play schemes, and influencer promotions to boost the song's reach, 10 Source, 11 Source. The feud has sparked widespread fan reactions, with memes and social media debates dissecting the legal battle and its implications. While Lamar's song has gained significant traction, Drake remains one of the most streamed artists globally. His legal actions highlight his efforts to protect his reputation and challenge UMG's alleged promotional methods of Source.
First of all, how the fuck did ChatGPT know that, yeah, he wants to talk to a black guy? That sounded like a black guy, right? No? It sounded like a black guy to me. And what about a black woman? Anyway. By the way, white people, if any of you out there are disgusted about why would you go to a machine, why would you get a machine to do a human being's work? Well, now you know how black people feel. When we get a white person to do something black person should be doing. Anyway, welcome to the party. sorry, this is kind of funny. I might Google, hey, chat, can you help me produce an episode? Okay, we're not there yet. All right, focus. Let's get back to what's funny because I had a segment that I removed from the agenda about how I got ChatGPT to help me save on my long distance. Well, not really long distance, but on my hosting fees. You know, it's another story. But whatever. I'm really... Is this what the future is? My co-host is going to be ChatGPT. Is going to be like AI? All right, okay. Where was I? Okay, Drake. Speaking of disappointments. The only point I'm going to make about the whole Drake story, because everyone's got their feedback on there. And I'm going to come from the perspective that I can relate to losing a fight. I can understand losing a fight and then going, teacher, calling the teacher to help you out. Or I told all my homies in the barbershop, not just the barbershop, but all my homies that are into that gangster shit. It's like, yo, well, sorry. After high school, when I went into college, I was starting to take life more seriously, but I started recognizing that, yeah, the homies and that gangster shit, I'm telling you now, if we're driving somewhere, if we're together, we get pulled over by the cops, or questioned by the cops, and we did something wrong, or you did something wrong, I'm fucking snitching. If I'm in a club, I don't club anymore, but back in the days when I used to club, some local gang or whatever, group of dudes, I step on the wrong dude's foot, I talk to the wrong girl, whose boyfriend still hasn't, you know, they haven't had closure in their relationship. My point is, if I get in a fight, if I get my ass kicked in a club, I'm calling the cops. Fuck that. I'm no thug, right? So I get that. I can relate to that. But the disgusting aspect is, God damn it, Drake, you asked for this shit. Remember? Motherfucker, you used an AI voice. Speaking of AI, damn, this is embarrassing. You used AI to reproduce the voice of Tupac Shakur. Excuse me. My Lord and Savior, Tupac Shakur. I feel like asking ChatGPT, what would Jesus sound like? Anyway, whatever. But it's some blasphemous shit. It was equivalent as a hardcore Tupac Machiavelli fanatic apostle. I mean, I wasn't there. I mean, I wasn't actual apostles, but I'm like, kind of like Paul. Okay. I'm trying to give myself status. I took offense to the AI shit. To using Tupac's voice to bait Kendrick into a rap battle. Dude, you didn't just diss Kendrick by doing that. You dissed the West Coast and Pac's fan. And I'm Canadian. Yeah, you asked for this. It'd be different. Look, if I'm out there saying, yo, me and my homies gonna kick your ass. And the dude shows up, or the girl shows up with her click, and they whoop my ass, and I'm like, 911. Nah, dog. Keep it gangster. It's different. You went looking for that shit. Now take that L. Take that L and bow out gracefully. Yeah. I'm honestly, I don't like using the word, I mean, disgusted, but it's disgusted. It's like, I'm embarrassed as a Black Canadian. No, you know what? No. I'm still proud as a Black Canadian. But I want to make a distinction to all you, like, foreigners, to all you, especially you Americans. I want you to be clear. I'm a Black guy from the city of Ottawa. All right? I'm a Black Canadian from the city of Ottawa. Drake is a white boy from Toronto. Dear Toronto, y'all need to do something about that dude, man. He's embarrassing us. I mean, like, holy shit. Yeah, he's embarrassing us. I'm not saying this is the equivalent, but I'm saying I think I understand white Canadians. I'm not agreeing with it. I want to be clear. I don't agree with it. But I think I understand how some white Canadians felt after the Ben Johnson scandal. Shout out to Ben Johnson. I got nothing but love. You know what I mean? But I mean, you know, you did what you did. Ain't no hatred for that. Because, yeah, Ben Johnson, after they Canada owes him an apology. But I don't think Drake's ever getting an apology. My point is, this nigga's embarrassing us. It's one thing for, you know, to hear other Black podcasters talk about Drake. Funny, you know. But when they start bringing in that, and then this Canadian nigga, oh, fuck. It's like you know, Drake is to Canada or Black Canadians what Hitler is to Germany. he's fucking up our reputation, man. I'm gonna go to fucking the States. Well, actually, I'm not gonna go into the States because of Donald Trump. But God forbid, I'm gonna meet an American. God forbid, it's a hot Black chick. It's a hot chick, and I'm like, ew, you're from Canada, ew. Yeah. But then I have to explain, like, yeah, yes. But I'm not Drake. I don't usually let people's opinion about, yeah. No, I'm just say Zillow, that's the song, man. Fucking song. How do you translate in English? He's without shame. But when a Haitian says you're song, that's like a serious offense. It's like, yo, what the fuck? You have disgraced your ancestors and your parents. Song, man. Song. Like, seriously. His parents need to, like, footage do, man. Like, beat the shit out of him. Anyway, yeah. Disgusted. This is why I have to force myself for time, because I can talk a lot of shit about, express my disgust of Drake. It's like, dude, you lost. The best thing he could have done is taking that L. He's, shit. You know what he is? Okay. I kept saying, he's like, United States, they got Trump, we got Drake. The only thing that shameful shit might work, like, dude, run for the Conservative Party at this point. As shameful fuck as you're being, run for. You know what's wild is how Drake started out as, he accomplished something that a lot of us who grew up in the 90s listening to hip hop couldn't even dream he would achieve this success. And then Kendrick went through him and was like, yeah, is this your king? No, not at all. Is this your king? Fuck that. I don't even know that nigga. You know who I blame? I blame the white dudes in his entourage. I think he's got like some Andrew Schultz he hangs out with, and they're telling him what to do. Yeah, man, you know what would be cool? Sue him. Yeah, they ain't gonna see that coming. They're gonna see you got a lot of money
And you know how niggers respect money, so you just sue them. Trust me. Trust us, Drake. Trust us. Sue them. You're going to be really cool to you. Okay. Boom. So, I don't think it's working out. Oh, shit. How are we supposed to know that you niggers are unpredictable? Well, not you, Drake. You're not a nigger. But they are for treating you the way they are.
I believe that's a bit. All right. Because I'm going to switch to because I was just disappointed in in humanity after the scandal with Drake. He's just anyway, I think I'm gonna link the episode of the Black Guy Who Tips, because they had some really funny jokes about funny responses to. I know there's a shitload of responses on the internet, but yeah, anyway, okay, over my time limit. Okay, let me switch to oh, shame on me. You know what? Okay, I'll skip. Because, you know, usually I start the episode with reading quotes, but I'm going to save the quotes for the last thought. Okay. Last thing. I'm reading the book by, when I say read, I mean the audiobook, but that doesn't matter. I'm some people don't agree with calling, going for an audiobook with reading, but, you know, go fuck yourself. I'm on my goddamn podcast. So, Autobiography. Oops. Oh, preview 62 pages. Okay. And, I'm enjoying my oh my God. My whole point is I'm enjoying the read. And, I think I'm at chapter 3. Doesn't matter. But, I want to talk about chapter. No, I'm not going to summarize chapter 1, but I am going to say my first impression of Asada Shakur. Before I just knew her as the black ex Black Panther member who's exiled or who escaped and found the asylum in Cuba. And did Obama try to bring her back? Oh, whatever. I don't blame if he doesn't trust her, but there's $1 million bounty. If you have $1 million bounty on it, but that's not the point. I'm reading chapter 1, and all I can say is the first impression I'm having of this woman is sheer amazement at her strength, her courage, her words. The chapter 1 just starts out with her going through that night when she was arrested by on the Turnpike, New Jersey Turnpike. And, oh, man, they tortured that poor woman, man. And she's, like, very descriptive. You know, trigger warning when you read that book. But, yeah, man, they see, you have to understand is these cops saw her as a cop killer. So, a black cop killer. So, needless to say, they had no love for this poor woman. And the shit they put her through is, I've read the part where she's in jail. But, yeah, that first chapter. Look, amaze, strength, and courage. And I'm realizing there was a point in my therapy session where I found myself wishing, like I was talking, and I found myself wishing that I had hers, Malcolm X, courage and strength, like their ability to speak their mind and not bite their tongue. They're really powerful, man. They don't make them like they used to. I'm also the chapter also made me think about how I've been focusing my attention, finding strength or modeling or looking up to fictitious characters on TV, actors, celebrities, and influencers. And completely forgot about these people before us who lived that shit, man. Like they were the real gangsters. Fuck Capone. They were the real gangsters. They were like gangsters by the definition that Dev Prez, revolutionary and gangsters, RBG, talked about. These were like character strength that I don't like being that the good old days type of person, but I am going to be for this episode. I mean, I'm going to be like, they don't make them like they used to. Yeah. All right. Okay. Now, Next item, I'm going to use this as a segue to the next chapter. To the next section. I'm going to call it the last thought. I used to call it final thought. I think I'm going to go with the last thought. Whatever, you know. It's my goddamn part. I'm in kind of this phase of transition. So meaning I'm making changes to my podcast, to my the format, and I'm seeing what sticks. So if you notice that the past few episodes have been inconsistent, it's just because I'm trying to find a new groove. Yeah, all this started after the last U.S. election. You know, think about it like I heard, I don't know, speculate. They said that, you know, if you see a woman who had long hair and she cuts her hair, something tragic happened. Well, think of these changes as me, as you looking at me with my haircut. Actually, I did cut my hair after a breakup, but I was a teenager. You know, it's a long story. Anyway, whatever. Okay. I'm gonna use this quote to segue to the next one, and it goes, and it's about, I got this off the ADHD meme subreddit, and it goes, talking about people with ADHD, because of their innate sensitivity to emotional pain, people with ADHD might become people pleasers, always making sure that friends, acquaintance, and family approve of them. Tell me what you want, and I'll do my best. Just don't get mad at me. After years of constant vigilance, the person with ADHD becomes a chameleon who loses track of what she wants from her own life. Powerful. All right. Okay. All right. So with that said, this concludes randomness. Let's switch to the final portion of the podcast, The Last Thought. Okay, like I said, usually I start these shows with some quotes, and I'm going to read them before I get to the actual thought. But let me just read them. First one goes, it's actually a tweet. It goes, your mental health is more important than your career, money, other people's opinion, that event you said you would attend, your partner's mood, and your family's wishes combined. If taking care of yourself means letting someone down, then let someone down. I had one of my coworkers say that how one day she woke up from bed and she was feeling really good. She was feeling so good that she took a day off. and I admired that. I like that. It's like, yeah, man, I'm not going to let you motherfuckers ruin this beautiful mood. But yeah, powerful, man. Now, unfortunately, I'm speaking with privileges. I have the kind of job where I can take a paid sick leave. So, yeah, shout out to us. Yeah. Okay. Next one goes, I'm in my let them era. I call it getting older. I'm over 40. So yeah. When you get older, you tend to get in your let them era, as in let them judge you, let them misunderstand you, let them find better, let them gossip about you, let them lose you. Shout out to the subreddit, how to not give a fuck. Next one goes, this one came from Blue Sky. And it goes, few men think, yet all have opinions. George Berkeley, Anglo-Irish philosopher. What's interesting, this, it kind of relates to the theme of the name of this podcast. And, I'm lying. Yeah, no, okay. The last one goes, if I said it, I meant it, bite my tongue for no one. Biggie Smalls. All right, okay, let me finally get to the point. All right, I'm gonna read one more thing to just a final context, and this one really nails down, really relates to what I'm about to share with you. It goes, trauma and healing. I'm gonna make my point here. Bear with me. Last one, I swear. Trauma says, if someone is upset at me, it is my job to be alert of this and manage this so I can be safe. Healing says, if someone is upset at me, it is their job to communicate their feelings, not my job to guess. Now, the reason I had to share that last one, that additional one, is because on this podcast, I like to, my philosophy is, or the philosophy, the guiding philosophy is preach what you practice. You say practice what you preach? No, preach what you practice. As in, talk about the shit you do know. Now, I can't talk to you. I am no expert. When Biggie said, if I said it, I meant it, bite my tongue for no one, I'm not the guy you want to talk to about that. But what I can talk to you about is the art of biting your tongue, the art of holding back. By the way, I Googled whether there's a French translation for biting my tongue, biting your tongue. And well, I mean, there's not a literal translation. I mean, you can't do it, but the best thing, the best word is they said the serrer tes lèvres. And yeah, holding back on what you really want to say. So I guess I'm going to dedicate this, this advice to those of you out there who like have this bad habit or have a habit or trying to get out of the habit of putting your foot in your mouth. This might be helpful to you. Okay. And for more context, what's interesting about this is because growing up, so I've always been, like I said, good at biting my tongue. I say good, but I never looked at it as a good thing. But I did grow up always envying. Some people might say dick riding, but yeah, envying, be envious of the straight shooters. The people who spoke up. I remember being in, the earliest memory I have, grade five, and this school I went to, and this one kid who was there, and homeboy let the teachers have it. Of course, he was a white kid, but I wouldn't say he became my best friend, but he became like, y'all, man, I want to be cool like you. He became like the Fonz to me just because of that ability. Sure, this motherfucker kept getting in trouble. Oh, yeah. But like he just... Nah, I don't want to do this homework. Wow! He never told the teacher to go fuck themselves, but I love the way he, like, spoke to us. It's like, wow, you talk to your mom like that? Yeah, you should try it. Not a chance. Haitians don't take that shit seriously. Anyway, Haitian parents don't take kindly to kids speaking up. Anyway, so I want to establish that I've always envied people with the ability to speak up, which is why, probably why I started I'm reading about Assata Shakur and just finished rereading the autobiography of Malcolm X, because they took it to the man. They spoke to the man. You know what's funny is this one time, this one person on Facebook, I forget his name, and I can't look it up because I'm no longer on Facebook. And I guess he saw a lot of my posts talk about black issues or, Black Lives Matter, all this stuff. Black shit. This was a white person. And he admired it. He liked it, I guess. He was a fan of it. I remember saying, yo, if you ever leave Facebook, yo, stay in contact. But once he posted something about me and he said, yeah, man, yo, this be black guy talking about me. He said he speaks his mind. Basically, I can't remember the exact word, but he said, yeah, man, he ain't scared to tell the truth. And I'm like, homeboy, you have no idea. But I guess I'm fascinated at the fact that he saw me as someone who didn't hold back. So, again, like I said, this is meant to be me. For those of you who have this habit of biting your tongue, let me help you out. This is what you need to do. Okay? Step one, and I don't know how you achieve this, but it helps if you started as a child. But I'm told this is called my ability to bite my tongue. Is like a trauma response, which is why I started with that one saying about trauma says if someone is upset at me, it is my job to be alert of this and manage this so I can be safe. The key word is be safe. So if if you're going to consider my ability to bite my tongue, to hold back, not say what's really on my mind, especially when I need to, it comes from, see, if I have to explain it, it's basically you have to believe that you're like a cut hair away from dying. You're like, I was going to say this close, but you can't see my thumb and my index finger. But you got to be, right, I don't know if I'm going to put the video out, but you got to be, you're like, you got to constantly see death. You got to constantly believe that you're, okay, look at the squirrels. You see how they're constantly freaking out? They're on edge? Yeah, you got to be like, take the mindset of a squirrel. Worried. Like watching your edge, it's like the, you're like one wrong move from death. You're one wrong saying, one wrong word, one bad fart, one sneeze away around the wrong person for death. Like you gotta constantly believe that you're not safe. You gotta have a need for safety and believe that you're one wrong move from that happening. It, like, it's very important that you can associate one mistake from death. All right? With that way, that's how you learn how to keep your mouth shut. I'm thinking about this one time I was in, I was 7 years old. I was in Haiti with my parents. And we were driving around. They were showing me downtown, the capital, the palace. That's what they call it, Le Palais. That's for Ottawa. It's like equivalent to the parliament. Anyway, that's where the president hangs out, right? And so at the time when I was 7, Baby Duck was running things. Was he prime minister? No, he's not prime minister. He was president. Whatever. He ran. He was in charge. Right, he was, we were driving around, and and I'm like, yeah, this is where Duvalier lives, stuff like that. So, oh, Duvalier? Yeah, I think I might have said something like, yeah, he's a doo-doo head. And I remember my parents freaking the fuck out. They like rolled, our windows was down at the time, so they rolled it up. You kids have no idea how windows used to work back in the days, huh? Okay, Google it. But yeah, they rolled up that window quickly. They're like, what the fuck's wrong with this kid? That's the last time we let you play with white people. Anyway, yeah. But I remember, like, it was serious. It's like, hey. that dude doesn't care if you're a kid. Him and his soldiers do not care if you're a kid. So, yeah, but they were like, that fear they had of, well, I guess when you live under a dictatorship, you know, fuck your free speech. It's the difference between life and death. So you pretend like everyone around you is like a dictator. And that's how you do it. Because then you're constantly watching your word. Now, I didn't say it was easy. For some of you, this shit might be impossible to do. Some of you might need to go back in time and create all the right trauma response, but whatever. But I'm giving you a long story to justify. I was thinking about that trauma versus healing sign, and I was stuck on the idea of, it says, if someone is upset at me, it is my job to be alert of this and manage this so I can be safe. It reminded me, I learned this in therapy, how whenever I'm around people, I'm in constant survival mode. I'm always, and to me, that's just normal. I was thinking about what it's really inspired this idea of this today's thought on biting my tongue is, and I guess I must be healing, but I was in a situation where I was in my old habit of, okay, careful what you say. My brain is constantly careful what you say. You're talking to someone. Careful what you say. And I was listening to something someone was saying, and homie was saying some bullshit. I knew it was bullshit, and I saw the urge, and I remember for the first time, I found myself So he was saying bullshit, and my natural instinct is to not to say anything, not react to the fact that this motherfucker is trying to sell me a fucking bridge here. I grew up around crazy Christians. I'm not just talking about my parents. I'm talking about the church. My parents didn't, I mean, growing up in a church, it happens, right? You know what? I'm gonna spare, I'm sure some of you grew up in healthy churches, but let's just say the ones I was at weren't that healthy. Guess what I forgot to do? Hit the record button on the camera. Anyway, yeah. So it was normal for me to be around people who said, yes, Jesus spoke to me in a dream. And in my mind, I'm like, yeah, nigga, please. Really? He spoke to you. Yeah, and that's how I got these winning lottery tickets. You know what I mean? It's like just, and I'm a kid and I'm saying this. And I can't be like, yeah, I don't know. That sounds like crazy. Whap. Oh, my son, sorry, my son's being impolite. Please, Sister Mary, please continue talking about your disillusion about how you saw Jesus in a dream and he told you that to play these lottery numbers. You know, it's like I was surrounded. I remember, it's like I grew up with this idea that it's my responsibility to protect their delusion, to protect the delusion of adults. When I grew up in the church, when I was in the church, right, there was a time where I was all into the relationship. Like I saw the religion as a relationship with God. I understood that, and those folks. But I was surrounded by people who were like stuck on the religious aspect. It's like, of course not. Say bullshit like, you know, oh, look, I'm okay. I know that you're gay, but I'll forgive the sinner. Some shit like that. You know what I mean? It's like, they'll say like homophobic shit. They'll say, they'll even talk shit about Haiti, about voodoo, all kinds of, they'll say, I've heard things as stupid as, thank God for slavery, because we wouldn't have never discovered Jesus. And it's all things that I held back on. I knew it was like, you're crazy. Anyways, I forgot I was in the middle of giving you an example. So, yeah, this was a coworker. He was telling me something, but my natural instinct is to hold back on being like, oh, come on, man. You trying to play me? And for the first time, I found myself not liking the fact that I was holding back. I'm not saying I was changed immediately, but it was for the first time. It's like the taste of my bit tongue. I didn't enjoy it. And I could feel myself at the crossroad between, well, then speak up. But because of old habits, and I went into old habits and bit my tongue. Now, I hope that I explained to you, well, I guess I was playing, because, you know, I was supposed to teach you folks who bite your who put your foot in your mouth, how to do it. It's bullshit. I mean, I know how to bite my own tongue. I don't know how to help you do it. Except for, you know, trauma does help. Trauma helps. Yeah. Maybe put yourself in a situation that if every time you say the wrong thing, you get your ass kicked. But then again, maybe that's why you're scared of, maybe that's why you hate the fact that you put your foot in your mouth. But whatever. You know what? I can't do nothing for you, man. All right. So, last point I'm going to make. This whole biting my tongue thing, this whole ability, this whole skill, trauma response, habit of holding back of what I really want to say, it connects to the whole concept of this podcast, Shut Up Podcast. The shut up was me going through life telling myself, shut up. No one wants to hear from you. You are made to be seen, not heard, or heard, but not seen. Don't take up space. It's like it's been an overall theme. This podcast is a result of me constantly shutting up. Lately, I've been getting better at saying what's on my mind. Actually, I'll give you an example. Actually, today, perfect example. There's this Inuit woman. She's Inuit woman. I believe she's an Inuit woman, right? But there's this Inuit woman who went on TikTok and talking about how, hey, basically she was trying to educate Kendrick Lamar for using the word Eskimo in one of his rap songs. Yeah, when I was talking about Drake, I was supposed to praise Kendrick, by the way. Anyway, yeah. So, because I forget what the lyric is, but yeah, he does use the word Eskimo in there. And she gets on there and explains how, yo, the word Eskimo is a racial slur, and I don't want my kids to please stop using it. I'm just trying to educate, whatever, blah, 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 and everything like that, and yada, yada, yada. Which is on point. The thing is, though, she said she's Inuit, but I'm looking at a woman who looks white. She mentioned that she's from Greenland. Is it Greek or Iceland? What's that country near? Oh, hold on. I have a map right behind me. Hold on a second. Greenland. Yeah, that one. Nothing but ice. Why is it called Greenland? I think it's been covered already. Anyway, so apparently there's an Inuit population there. And she looks white. And I won't lie, man. The message didn't bother me. The messenger did. And I'm like, it was just bothering me. Like, I remember I saw the video. I avoid putting negative comments on TikTok. So, because my For You page usually shows me shit that I agree with. But I usually avoid putting anything that might make the content creator being like, okay, well, we're going to stitch this motherfucker. Like, you know, when content creators... sometimes they like what you say, but when they don't like what you're saying, then you become the focus of, it's like, yes, Mr. And then they respond to you as you being the back. I don't like being the back. Okay. Again, part of me holding back on my words is I am not into the business of hurting people's feelings, except for Whitey. Whitey could get it. So I remember thinking about it. But it was fucking bothering. I was caught between. I was feeling that feeling again of you're holding back, B. Say what you want to say. But I went through a lot of thinking. And this was actually in the morning when I didn't think about it. And I remember finally because I tweeted about it. And then I finally understood what I was trying to say. So I replied to the woman, to the content creator. I said that, look, I don't have a problem with the message. I remember what I'm saying here. I don't have a problem with the message, but I am having difficulty processing the fact that you look like the same people who created that racial slur and benefit from it, as in benefit from racism. It's like, it reminded me of this one time this white lady online corrected me for using the word Third Nation. I was not aware there was such a thing as Third Nation. There was a Third Nation was considered a slur, but a negative, or was an outdated term. But because it came from a white person, I'm like, what the fuck? It just felt like another, look, as a black person, especially a black man, you're used to having black, white women look down on you and say, hey, look, boy. Correction is one thing, sure. But know your place. I don't know. I don't have any tips to... No, I won't say this. It's not that I won't say this. I'm saying, look, if you're a white person getting ready to correct a black person on... Especially someone who's knowledgeable. You need to acknowledge the fact that you need to acknowledge the whiteness. I'm like, it's... I don't know. I mean, I'm admitting that I'm ignorant about the Inuit. You know, what's funny is I actually Googled white Inuits, and there's the word, and then there's a Wikipedia article about blonde Eskimo came up. I'm like, wow, homegirl just said that shit was a slur. It's you know what? It's kind of like, I guess I'm trying to, what I really wanted to, okay, maybe, I don't know if there was a nice way to do this, but what I really wanted to, okay, the message she was saying was legit. I don't disagree with it. It's not that. But I kind of needed a white lady. Hello. If you're going to be an Inuit, I'm expecting to be like, granted, it is my ignorance about Inuit culture. Actually, I was going to make a bit about it. I remember, I remember there was, back in my comedy days, there was this, this one woman, she was a comedian, and one of the comedians, sorry, and she was from Nunavut. But at the time, I thought Nunavut was pronounced Nunavut. Hey, look, English is my second language. Go fuck yourself, white man, in your language. Anyway, sorry. All right, I'm defensive. Right, so I kept pronouncing it. I always pronouncing it. She kept saying Nunavut. Right? Kept saying Nunavut. I'm grateful I wasn't ignorant enough to be like, look, white woman, it's pronounced Nunavut. The only thing that stopped me is homegirl just said she's from Nunavut. And I'm like, hold on, let me make sure I'm pronouncing it wrong. Holy shit. It's bad enough I'm using AI. How to pronounce Nunavut. I even spelled it. Okay. Tommy computer. Again, AI. Holy fuck. Yeah, man. They've taken over. I'm telling you right now, man, because of white people, if machines take over, I'm taking sides with the machines. If we can't have the planet, no one can. All right, okay. Pronounce this for me. Practice. No, not that. Don't do that. I don't want to practice. Oh.
Nunavut,
yeah. So I remember she can say Nunavut. She pronounced it like that. But I'm like, okay, homegirl says she's from Nunavut, so I guess she must be. But it felt so weird having a person who looks white correcting me on a culture's pronunciation from a culture that's not white. You know what I mean? I'm just not used to having white people in in the right. Get it? White, right? Okay, whatever. Yeah. Okay. All right. My point is, I remember holy shit. All this to say that I left that comment, but I know, again, I'm very, the part that I read about ADHD could be said about people who are highly sensitive. I am very, growing up with white people, I have learned to be very mindful of shit that bothers them. And white people, I'm used to white people not liking having a conversation about race or bringing up race or anything having to do with race. It's like, look, shut the fuck up. There's no such thing. I don't see any race, so you either. Anyways, stop making it about race. So when I spoke up and said, in response, I said, hey, look, I understand. Okay, I agree. Eskimos, I didn't know. I know Eskimo was not a word that you're supposed to use on a people. Like growing up, we were told in French, ça veut dire mangeur de poisson cru. Would that make them sushi lovers? And whatever. But my point is, it is not the word that they use for themselves. It was the word that the European applied to them. And they didn't even bother doing the research. No. Your name is sushi lovers. Anyway, so you people eat pussy. I am so silly. Focus on the time. Okay, so what I was saying is I replied, but I remember feeling uncomfortable because of I was pointing out the fact that I was acknowledging the fact that, hey, thank you for the correction, but you're white. What the fuck are you doing explaining? Like, you need to acknowledge the fact that, hey, you don't fit what I thought was. Okay, look, I'm going to actually Google the word Inuit. Inuit. And if I see a white person, then I'll take it back. Greenland. See, that's what I'm saying, man. I'm seeing like some indigenous looking folks. I am not seeing some blonde hair, blue eyes. Okay, I'm doing a Google image search. Yep, not a white person. Like, I need to know are you guys like Argentina? Because Argentina is a bunch of light-skinned people on there. You know why? Because they got rid of the dark-skinned people. So you need to, like, before you start criticizing Kendrick, you need to explain why you don't look like this Google search results. Granted, I guess she could respond and say, it's not my responsibility. You should do the search. But I'm willing to do the search, but I better not find out that the reason why she's white is because her ancestors wiped out the other guys. You know what I mean? Is that what I'm going to find out? Because you need to acknowledge that. It's like, white people, y'all need to acknowledge your atrocities, or at the very least understand that we look at you through those eyes. Before you start saying, hey, I don't like you guys using the word nigger around me. It's like, bitch, mind your own business. Yeah, I just don't like, yeah, I don't like being educated by the uneducated. That makes sense? Oh, my God, biting my tongue. Yes, I remember saying that, writing, posting it, and then feeling nervous about it, about the outcome. Like I said, I don't like saying shit that upsets people, but what I have learned is every once in a while, basically, I need to live my let them era. Like, I can't control them. I need to accept the fact that sometimes I'm going to say something unintentionally that someone's not going to want to hear. I had a dream about that I pissed off someone that I looked up to, but I think it had to do with the fact that I had just finished reading the chapter of the autobiography of Malcolm X where he left Elijah Muhammad. And that chapter, like, I felt that chapter. But whatever. Okay. But yeah. Biting your tongue. Biting my tongue. I don't know if I'm going to call this episode The Art of Biting My Tongue or just Biting My Tongue. But yeah. That's it. That's it. Yeah. Hope you learned something. Hope you have a discussion. But like always, website is shutuppodcast.com and email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. This concludes today's episode, but before I wrap this up, I want to remind you that this podcast was a safe space for my thoughts, and they were protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. Hoosier Blur's up in this bitch. 1704. 1804. Holy shit, I'm going to get my ass kicked by Haitians. 1804. Zizi Sakat. Wow. Red, black is the Haitian flag, by the way. I mean, red, oh, red, blue, Hoosier Blur is the Haitian flag. Fuck, I'm high. All right, I represented throughout this podcast, I represented and held it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question, are you an outcast? As in, I represent black outcasts. This episode was rated F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. If you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. And thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right, then. Peace.
I am your king now!